You are now listening to The Invited Podcast with Cedric Harris and Tia McClain. You've officially been invited. You are now listening to The Invited Podcast. Today, we invite husband and wife, Rashawn and Logan, for our first paired interview. Rashawn is originally from Chicago, Illinois, and Logan hails from Toledo, Ohio. They both made the move to New York to pursue their dreams of working in media and entertainment, but found love in the process. Logan is an associate producer at Dateline NBC with a master's degree in media, culture, and communication from Ball State in Indiana, while Rashawn attended school hours away at the University of Missouri, earning a degree in mass communication and media studies. He works for MSNBC as a technical associate. They have one beautiful baby girl together named Harlem, paying homage to the city in which they met. And today we'll learn more about their careers in media, life transitions, marriage, parenthood, and we'll get some great advice in the process. Sean and Logan, thank you so much for joining us today.
What's good, Tia? Hi. Cedric, thank you for having us.
Of course, of course.
Hey, yeah, we're super excited to talk to y'all. Like Tia said, first pair interview, first married interview overall. So super excited.
Married for 1 year. Our anniversary was August 8th.
Oh, man. Congratulations. Happy 1 year.
First of all, for those of y'all that don't know, I've been knowing Sean for a very long time. He's one of my like greatest friends that I met in college. And so I'm super glad.
He has all the embarrassing videos of me.
All of them. Sharing them after.
Right.
So Logan, I, of course, want to get to know better his beautiful wife that, you know, we're going to get to talk to today. So to get us started, we want some more background on what you all do for work. So Logan, if you could start us off just kind of telling us what you do as a as an associate producer at Dateline NBC.
Yes. So Dateline, a lot of people know in the pop culture world for the crime stories and things like that. But that's not all we do. We do other specials and things like that. And my job as an associate producer is just to kind of support the producer in his role or her role. So I do a lot of writing. I do a lot of research. I do a lot of calling people, doing pre-interviews. Really, the job kind of differs from day to day. There's really no day that's really the same. So right now we're working on a couple of stories that are really in that stage where we're really crashing and getting them edited and ready to go. So as he knows, that's usually really a stressful time for me in the house because I'm running around making calls, you know, helping the editors get everything together because we have a strict deadline. And with longer form stories, it takes a little bit more time. So yeah, that's pretty much a nutshell of what I do.
She hold it down though. We both work from home and she makes sure that she still take care of Harlem because I work at early shifts.
Yeah.
So in between her working and being stressful while I'm snoring, taking a nap.
He loves his naps.
She still
will not sacrifice the nap.
She still
never.
Take
never.
I love my naps. She still take care of Harlem. I really appreciate that because that working from 2 a.m. to 11 a.m. or 5 a.m. to 11 a.m. And sometimes I work 13-hour shifts, just like yesterday. And she still holds it down, so I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And Sean, you kind of alluded to it, but like you said, you have long shifts. So can you tell us more about your role as a technical associate at NBC?
MSNBC and NBC News. So I work for shows like The Today Show and all day-size shows on MSNBC, mostly Morning Joe, which comes on at 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. It's a 3-hour show. But basically behind the scenes, it's not as glamorous as hers, but you know, if I was there inside the studio, they having us come back, I'd be miking up the guests and helping them with the cameras and stuff like that. Working from home, they allow software from us to do prompter from home. So I'm doing all shows for the prompter. But the good thing about my job description is you get to learn different things. So I was able to learn RoboCams, that's controlling the cameras from a different room, not actually behind the camera, but from a different room on a different floor. So I learned how to do that, and I learned how to do the PED cam and JIB, which is the long extended camera. And they just asked me to learn how to become a stage manager. So you learn different things. It's a lot under just being a technical associate.
Yeah.
And he, in his time at 30 Rock, he came to 30 Rock after I did, and he met so many celebrities, and the amount of time that he's been there, he just, but he's that person, like, he sees them, he spots them, he's going to take a picture.
Respectfully. NBC is watching.
Yeah.
I don't just go up to them and, you know, be aggressive.
Respectfully.
But, you know, the funny thing is, the seeing Black entertainers that comes in, or anybody, for example, Shaq, or D.L. Hughley, who came up to me because I was Black, you know, one of the only Black people on set. Exactly. So you automatically make that eye contact. And then I'm like, hey, what's up? But usually they say something first. Like, D.L. Hughley would say, what's up, good looking? And like, he was my cousin. And then I was like, what's up, man? What's up, man? This and that. So the anchors, you know, they looking like, oh, we know each other. Yeah, I'm big shit too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And the funniest story was Shaq. I'm mocking, you know, I'm really animated. I use my hands when I talk. Mm-hmm. And then, so I'm talking to one of my coworkers, this and that. He's behind me. He's mimicking me like this and that. Tia, I turned around, I said, what the fuck? And really loud. And you know, I'm in the studio. So he said, up. And Tia, and by the time the third up reached to him, he started busting up laughing. See, he's that tall. I ain't never seen nobody that tall. before, and then I started cracking up laughing, he started laughing, and then I was like, can I get a picture afterwards? He was like, yeah, for sure. Afterwards, he trying to whisper to me. Tia, his whispering sound like a thunderstorm. I ain't gonna lie. By the time he gets to me, the floor is rumbling. So I'm trying to cheese, and I'm like, what you say, Shay? And you know, I can't hear Tia like that. I said, no. What you say? And he's like,
he did it.
Yes, he did. He said, he asked me to go get somebody's number, one of the females' number. Now, he is single. He's not married.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. So he was, so I did that, you know, respectfully. You know what I mean?
Hashtag respectfully. No, that's actually a really good segue, because we had a question about that. So on Sean's Instagram, he has pictures with, like you just mentioned, Shaq. He met Boosie, D.L. Hughley, Charlamagne, Spike Lee, Reverend Al Sharpton.
Come on now.
Just a long list of different people. So for you both, who is a celebrity that you want to like have a sit down conversation with?
I would love to have a conversation with Michelle Obama.
Yes.
That's always been somebody that I
That's
somebody that I that's truly,
good.
Truly admire. There are people that you're like, okay, I admire their singing or I admire this talent, but you don't know more about them as like being a good person or being somebody that gives back or humanitarian. But her, you know that she has all of this behind her and you just want to know like more about her and what, you know, created this woman that inspires so many people.
That's and, very
because Michelle is so polished, but she's also like down to earth.
Yeah.
Like,
very relatable.
And I heard she smelled like Jergens lotion.
All right. See, relatable.
My friend told me that she went to Hampton and then she was saying hi, you know, to the kids. Mm-hmm. And then my friend was like, oh, she smelled like Jergens lotion, cherry.
Who is yours, Sean? Who is the
person? Now, you know, mine is Mary J. Blah.
Yes. Why Mary J?
I
don't know. I love her music. Her second album, What's the 411? That might have been the first one. But I think her second album really did it for me. I just think she just, I don't know, her music, I could listen to it throughout. She got happy music, she got sad music. And you know, I love soul music. And then that's what she exhibited, soul to me in hip hop. And I just want to sit down and get a chance. And there's some other reasons, but I'm not going to go into that.
She has a story.
I have a story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know, Mary J. Blige. Yeah.
Okay. I would want to talk to her about her fashion.
Okay.
And her hair.
The blonde.
And her body still tight and
Come on.
Yeah. And her I mean like yeah, like that. I'm just like, yeah. and Lil Kim too.
Lil Kim.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah, Lil Kim. Yeah, the queen of hip hop. Mm-hmm. And I from fashion from the 90s. Mm-hmm. To, you know, her whole story with Biggie.
Yeah.
That's a sit down. That's a movie waiting to happen. Something that she's a part of. Because that movie that came out with Biggie and the Notori, she was playing her. she didn't really get to sit down with Lil' Kim. So I want to hear a story from Lil' Kim's mouth and Faith Evans' mouth and get their side of the story. I think that's huge.
For sure.
I like that.
And so you all talked about your careers and like from what you all said in just a short amount of time, it seemed like it's really cool, fun, and just exciting overall. Mm-hmm. Is this something that you all always wanted to do? Like, what kind of made the shift into the media space for both of you?
Well, I've always been interested in writing.
Okay.
Since maybe junior high, high school. I did take there was like an extracurricular like journalism class in high school. But still, when it was time to apply, I still wasn't, I wasn't sure that that's what I wanted to do. Originally, I wanted to go into business when I was applying for schools. Mm-hmm. But then I thought about it and I was like, you know, what is something I can do? Cause I, you know, I was trying to intertwine different things and I was like, I like to write, I like to get dressed, I like to, you know, and so I was trying to incorporate different things and, that's what I came up with and that's what I stuck with. And I still like it. I still love it. So
yeah.
She's a beast. She's a voice for the voiceless.
Ooh.
Yeah, she is. She really is. She's one of the few Black associate producers that work for Dateline.
Mm-hmm.
So the stories, for example, missing Black women, you know what I mean, in America.
Yeah.
That the stories that was wasn't told as much. She was a part of that. The Native Americans that was missing, that nobody really cared about, she was mm-hmm. a part of that. So her voice is really important. They really appreciate her. And I'm glad that they do. Cause she was kind of afraid, you know, having a kid. Mm-hmm. She's very goal oriented. So when she was pregnant, she was afraid that she wasn't gonna get this, you know, this big raise that she'd been working for her entire life, her entire career.
Yeah.
And so she overcame that. They seen her worth. It was delayed, but it wasn't denied. Mm. It would have came back.
It
was
preaching, ain't it?
Yeah. Right. It is Sunday.
Tia told me to preach a little bit. She said I could be myself, but you know, add some gems to it. And one thing about her, you could tell God is in her, and this is why I fell in love with her. And I'm gonna tie this into my story on my transition into how I came to New York.
Yeah.
But you could tell God is in her. And so everything that she touches turned gold. And that's mm-hmm. what I like about her. But tied it into me, you know, T, I was hustling. It took me 11 months to get into my career. And I was really hustling. So I reached out. I thought I was going to end up at CNN because I did an internship. 5 letter recommendations. And I still didn't get that entry level position.
5 letters.
Yeah, wow. But in between time, we was having fun in Mizzou, this and that. But I was still hustling, and I was working at the bank there in Columbia, Missouri. And I reached out to somebody who came by NABJ meeting. Mm-hmm. His name is, I don't think I'm going to get his name. Okay. But he was an intern recruiter for NBC.
Yeah.
And he remembered me. Now, mind you, I wasn't in NABJ or journalism school, but you know me, I just popped right in, ate the pizza, mm-hmm. and gave my resume and said, excuse me. Oh, my name is. And he remembered that. And he gave me a sample resume, and Tia, you was there at that moment, and y'all was like, why is he giving you a sample resume? But he was allowed to, so that wasn't nothing. Yeah, he was allowed to, and it was Logan.
That is crazy.
It was Logan's, and he said, your resume is too long. I thought, you know, the longer it was, the more it seemed like I had experience. And then he was like, no, your resume needs to be one page, and he said, look at hers and sample it, because hers was all pretty purple, this and that. So I learned a lot about her on her resume.
Yeah.
And so I added her as a friend. I'm like, who's Logan trying to steal my job? Like, the best. Because see, you know, I'm competitive. I'm like, yes. The best. Okay, let me see who this is.
Uh-huh.
I was an intern.
And I seen her picture. I'm like, dang, let me add her.
Yeah, hold on.
Okay. And I could tell that she was very, like, professional. Her Instagram was very professional and goal-oriented, and she achieved a lot. And I could just tell just the way that she carried herself, the way she took her picture. You know, like, she not like this, you know what I mean? Not like this. None of that. It was very like,
yes.
I said, okay, okay. And then so it took her a long time to accept me. When I actually got the job at CNBC, that's how I started off. Uh-huh. I reached out. She finally, you know, replied back to me, and I was smooth, debonair.
No, I accepted him after a year or so. Sheesh. And then I liked a picture. And for him,
that's all it took.
Was a green light.
So Logan was liking you too. She was peeping you too. She saw that picture. She said
it was a picture.
So she had to scroll a little bit.
I remember the picture. I remember exactly which picture it was because you had posted this picture and it had the location, said he was in Harlem or whatever. I was like, okay, he's in Harlem too. I'm in Harlem. Okay. So I liked the picture. As soon as I liked the picture, DM.
Green light.
Shooter's gonna shoot.
Perfect.
Perfect.
I've been waiting.
And then so basically, I can't remember exactly what I was saying, but I was trying to let her know that I'm a professional too. I'm coming with it just like how you coming with it. Okay. And I know you in the industry, and I know that you know people respect you in the industry and that you got a bright future. And she was like, how do you know that?
Yeah, I was like, what is he doing?
I said, just know that I know and keep doing the great work that you do. And then so now she like, you know, sweating. Yeah, you know, like she's sweating now. I got her little shook. Now we met up at a park in Harlem. Mm-hmm. Luckily she stayed. Like within 10 minutes of me. So she took the bus to Harlem and she took the bus to this park and I walked to this park and we met up. We talked for like 6 or 7 hours until it started raining and we were still talking. And I was asking her questions straight up. See, you know me, I get down to the wood, nitty
gritty.
Exactly. I live by that. And then I said, you still in love with your ex? You know, this and that. You want kids, you want to get married, this and that.
Oh, Tia, wow.
But first of all, when she was walking towards me, towards the park, first of all, it took her, she was a little late. She was a little late.
A lot of late.
Uh-huh. And then so they were singing opera.
Are you
when
serious?
She was walking towards me, yes, they were singing opera in the park. They do like different concerts and stuff. And this is a Black community, but that, yeah. I thought that was pretty cool. Like they was doing different music and stuff.
Yeah.
And she was walking towards me, Tia. Oh!
Slow motion.
I started singing opera with they ass. She was fine. She was fine. I started singing motherfucking opera with they ass, and she was laughing just like what she was. So that broke the ice.
Yeah.
And then we talked for 6 hours. I walked her home. Tia, she had the umbrella under her. And she just talking away. And then I was Tia, it was raining so hard.
Uh-huh.
See, I was drenched. I was trying to get tissue.
Just one napkin.
And now there's one napkin.
And I'm under umbrella dry. And
see, I had tissue residue. Like somebody wiped their ass on like just tissue residue on my face. And she looked at me and started laughing. And then that was my second date. That was my intro. Yeah. So she started laughing. And then I was like, this your house? She was like, no, my house is a couple blocks away from here, but you can drop me off right here.
Right here.
So I respected that too. I respected that because that was our first time meeting. But then after that, we was dating since then, and then we hit it off.
Wow.
Modern day love story.
Hold on, you didn't throw me off. I'm listening to this story.
I had to cut it short.
No, that was beautiful because we did want to know like the story of how y'all met. But you also mentioned on your Instagram on the proposal post. You were like, when I met Logan, I knew the first day I met her that she was my wife. Aww. So
that's why I started singing opera.
Yes. Like when Logan walked up, you just knew it automatically.
Yeah, so, I knew it. And then when we was asking questions, what solidified it for me was that she respected our first date.
Yeah.
We was at Amy Ruth's in Harlem, which is a great soul food place if anybody go to Harlem. And we talked for hours and I let her run, you know, Tia, I bear all. Like I tell
very
everything.
Open.
I'm very, very open. So I let her know everybody. She knew all about my crazy family, both sides. She knew all about my friends. She knew all about my life in college, the crazy stuff. I'm showing her crazy videos. I'm showing her everything. So she was prepared when she went to Chicago. She was able to handle big personalities.
Come on.
She was prepared to meet all of y'all. She was prepared for everything that I can't, because I can't hold nothing back, because it's just so much. My personality, it needs an explanation.
I understand that.
She was laughing. So I was just like, yeah, we're gonna hit it off real good.
Yeah. Logan, do you feel like, from what you learned like early on, do you feel like you two are opposites of each other, like perfect pieces that kind of just fit together?
I feel like we're opposites in a lot of ways, but I feel like it is kind of, we fill in the gaps, right? Like, so places where he's lacking, I can fill those voids. When I'm lacking, or I'm lacking, he can fill that for me. So I do think that it's like it's a perfect situation. You know, a lot of times you want somebody that's just like you, but you don't need to be with somebody that's just like you. Sometimes you need somebody to help in those areas where you can't meet that. So I think that
you gotta be careful who you had kids with. Like, I so much appreciate her. I so much appreciate her, because I see people our age, and it's a struggle out here. It's hard out here for a pimp. And I'm just grateful that I ran into her, you know, organically. You know, it was organic. God situation. What if I wanted to go to, God was telling me, like, you don't need to be in Atlanta and, you know, work for CNN. You'll meet your wife in New York. Ooh. You know what I mean? You'll have a beautiful baby. You'll have a great career. Yeah. And I'm so much, I love my career. I love my situation. I love my little family. It takes away from like our alone time, you know, but you got to pick and choose your battles. And I'd rather my battle be my family, because I am a family man.
Yes. And I have 1,000 more questions about family. You had a question about internships, though. You just brought up Atlanta. So you want to ask about internships?
No, so just overall, with all your experience and like your internships and like school and things like that, how much of what you do now did you learn like on the job, like internship wise, or like how much of it was like what you learned in college versus like the courses you took?
Honestly, if it wasn't for, honestly, so I majored in communication, like what Tia said. And we was very hands-on. Mm-hmm. That's when I started passing my classes. That's when I knew that I was in the perfect. I always wanted to be in television, but I had big dreams to own my own production company. That's why I majored in business. I didn't have any, no guidance, because I didn't see nobody in that position. So I thought business. I can learn how to do business, and I can write films, I can act. So I'm gonna just take the Tyler Perry route. But I'm going to learn how to do, I'm going to major in business. What was your question again?
No, just like, how much of what you do now did you learn from like internships?
Oh, yeah, versus, it's the exact same thing. But I am learning to do more at KOMU. It's an NBC affiliate, which is a local news station in Columbia, Missouri. I worked there. T, you can tell you, I worked the 3:30 a.m. shift. Got off at 9, it was part-time, and then I would go to school afterwards. So that paid off. That paid off into that internship at CNN. And then ultimately, both of those two on my resume, working at a real local news station as a staff member, not an intern, not doing it for school, as a staff member. Right. I helped numerous of journalism students come in and help them read the script and practice and stuff like that. I drove a little truck around. Mm-hmm. I raised the mask and set up the cameras for the reporters. And I also was a stage manager. So just both of those skills, that's huge. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful that I went to University of Missouri Columbia, because they have access to that. You know, the studio was like less than 10 minutes away from the campus. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that. And it was word of mouth of me getting that job, because I was so good at my classes. My professor, his wife worked at the local news station. Mm. So just making that connections. I've always been a networking person, which led me to my career right now.
Logan also.
So the same thing.
Yeah. So it definitely like prepped you for what you're doing now. And Logan also was an intern at a local news station. So how did that, you know, kind of same, the pretty much same question. How did that experience prepare you for what you're doing now?
I interned for like a semester in undergrad at a local news station at home. And that was a lot of script writing, going out in the field with the reporters, that kind of thing. And then when I came to New York for grad school, I interned at Today Show, then interned with Dateline, which is where I am now. And so that's kind of how that worked, because it was like, okay, they recognize me because I'm an intern. Now they know my work. They know that I can handle everything. And so then I interned a second semester at Dateline. Instead of rotating to a different show, I chose to stay at Dateline a second term. And so that led me into getting what they call it a yo position, which is like a year only hire. It's like a, what'd you say? Like a freelance.
Okay. Yeah, just a year only hire instead of like a permanent position. Yeah. You're there for a year and it's a rotation type thing.
And so after that year, they can determine if they want to keep you, hire you on staff, or you got to get out.
And most of the times they're not hiring the staff. So it's still laid in and you have to hustle. That was me.
You got to hustle.
My first year at CNBC, they told me 6 months in, Sean, you're good, but I know we're not going to hire. So we need to hustle. And that's exactly what I did.
Yeah, well, his position, they didn't have any openings and that's the thing. You kind of have to hope that there is an opening even for you to have an opportunity to get hired in. For him, there wasn't an opening there, but then he came to 30 Rock.
And MSNBC, day my CNBC contract expired was the day that I worked at MSNBC.
Look at that.
And word of mouth, this industry is cutthroat. Yeah. And if you had a bad reputation with anybody, it would get around because everybody worked with everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's important. Networking is very important. Likeability is very important. Also skill set. Yeah. But it's very important for you to be likable, for you even to move far, for you to even to get the chance to.
Yeah. And work. You really work hard.
Right. Right.
Prove yourself in that, whatever that internship, really proving yourself and really going above and beyond. Same thing with the contractor position.
Because anybody can stay with, like, okay, somebody else.
Yeah, anybody will take. Yeah,
they get over a million applicants, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then we got chose. So that it's very special. It's very special and very humbling. But, we both very competitive. I like that spirit about her. Like, she loves to achieve things and I love to achieve things. So we both push each other and we understand each other's stressors. When it comes to the industry, so if I need to get a handle on Harlem, while she go through her thing, then that's what I need to do. And then same thing with her. And with me, I work for live television. So it's a different type of stress. So, I'm used to hearing a control room yell and scream. If there's breaking news, thank God the Trump era is over.
I'm sure that was
Leveling up because they needed so many people because it was so much
there's
breaking
so much
news.
Happening.
Exactly.
I'm glad his ass is gone. Good riddance.
Aren't we all? Listen.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned some of the things that you need, like likability. I'm sure all of our listeners can tell like how great your personalities are and how likable both of you all are. But you also mentioned like the skill set. So like what type of skills do you need to be successful in the industry?
You need this one. I'm gonna give you guys whatever industry that you're interested in joining. Go on LinkedIn or look up the application and what they want, the requirements. Because this is what I learned with CNN. Your resume go through a machine first, and they pick up certain words. For example, editor, product. This is for somebody that want to go into news. Editor, so EDIT. That's what the machine pick up on. So if you did any type of editing or you're an editor or you edit, that's what the machine pick up on. Production, so P-R-O-D. So if you producer or production, they're gonna pick up on that word, P-R-O-D. Writer or writing, W-R-I-T. Words like that, they pick up on before they even look at your stuff. They go through a machine. Unless you know somebody that knows somebody.
Yeah.
You have to look at what they're looking for, pick up on put those words in your resume and make it work.
Yeah, I mean, like he said, definitely the writing, editing, researching, interviewing, all of those things you need to have. A lot of, right now, I feel like a lot more people want to have the social media skill.
Yeah.
They want you to be able to shoot video, edit video. So those kind of things will set you apart if you have those skills. Especially now, digital is becoming a lot more popular as far as news.
Yeah. And you can use your phone. That's what I learned. Like you can create so much just from your phone. and you can apply to these big companies, you know, if you have your own website, build your own website, mm-hmm. you know, start doing like what you guys are doing right now. This counts if you want to apply for anything on the NBC uni careers.com. You know, you can add this and then yeah. you can attach the link to your resume when you send it out to them mm-hmm. or your when, but you know, go on LinkedIn, look up, you know, managers of such and such, managers of this, managers of that. Add them as a friend. 9 times out of 10, these people will reply back to you. Yeah. You know, I did that so much, and I did it as a hobby. Like, I was addicted to it. I was addicted to doing phone interviews, you know, mm-hmm. and make sure you write your stuff down, because if they call you last minute and say, hey, because the news happens so much, mm-hmm. one position may close, but the next may open, and they may call you and tell you that. You interested in this? Okay, you can do an interview in 10 minutes. You got to be ready. And then I put everything in my notes for what I want to say. You know, what can I bring to the company? My strength, my weaknesses, what my experience. Put that, all that stuff on your phone so you won't be caught off guard, and you will be ready for anything. If they call you last minute, you'll be ready. So stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Yeah, the number one thing I would say, when you're applying to jobs and getting those interviews, is make sure you research the company. Yeah. Make sure you research the position. Yeah. You don't know how many times I've heard stories about people. They're like, okay, so what is that? And you're like,
ma'am.
Okay, so you should know that before you apply. Yeah. Even if you don't know it, research it and act like you know it when you're in the interview.
Yeah.
You know, so that's probably one of the more important things for younger people today coming out of college. Make sure you're researching your companies and positions before you go into those interviews.
And one transparency moment, because of course I followed up and asked CNN why I didn't get the job, and I talked to the big boss. Besides them losing my virtual interview, so that's another story. But me being accountable, they told me that when they asked me about what do I want to do, you know, I forgot the question, but my answer was, oh, I want to become a producer, or I want to do this, instead of focusing on a task at hand. They want to mm-hmm. hear something like that. So if you mention something like, whereas like you want to focus on the task at hand and grow your skills, and then say potentially, you know, I want to become like a producer, but I want to learn more about, you know, this position and the skills that's required in this first. That answer go a long way, because they want to know that you're not going to overstep them and take their job. Exactly. And that's what they thought that I was trying to do, which is my personality to like be goal oriented, not to take somebody's job, but to be goal oriented. Who wants to stay a news assistant, you know, for a long time? So of course I'm going to say, you know, I want to become this or that, but that was a learning lesson for me, and it prepared me for other interviews that happened after that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So just as someone who works in career services, it just feels good to hear y'all like reiterate that. I try to stress that to my students all the time, all these things. And so hearing it in like real practice feels great. So that kind of leads me to my next question of just your work and how it's changed during the pandemic. So what has it been like to transition from being in this big building to working at home? And I guess, you know,
with your spouse,
with your spouse and having to parent.
Yeah. So it's kind of been a lot of ways. I always tell people it's been a blessing in disguise, because for me and, you know, for us, it was really difficult sending Harlem to daycare that first time when she was really little. You know, so that was, you know, over a year and a half almost that we got to really spend with her, and we both got to be here with her, you know. So that was nice. But it can be challenging to kind of juggle, you know, everything within the same room. You know, I'm typing and trying to feed Harlem and trying to make him coffee and doing it, you know, all in one space. So that can kind of be challenging, but I enjoy working from home. I feel like it's allowed me to have that kind of flexibility and kind of made it a little bit easier to juggle my work-life balance a little bit, which is one thing that I've always been really concerned about in this industry. And that's one of the things that I've even asked like other women in the industry who have, you know, really reached high positions, and I've asked them, you know, how do you juggle family and this, and have your career, have your cake, eat it too? And no one really has an answer, you know? And so this was like, okay, this is the closest I feel like I can get to feel like, okay, I can have my family life and my career and not feel like I have to give up one or the other.
And she being modest, but she broke a glass ceiling, because people in her position, women in her position, they don't have kids, they don't have children because they travel so much and her job is so demanding.
We're now at the halfway point of this episode. Let's take a word from our sponsors.
So she proved to them that you can have kids and work from home at the same time. So the pandemic was a blessing at the same time, because she was able to prove that. And so she do so much of her work from home. They're like, okay, well, you know, you guys can chill from home, or Logan, you can stay at home today and do it, because she accomplished so much and be on multiple stories at once. So kudos to her for breaking that glass ceiling for a lot of up and coming women who's, you know, want to bear children in her position, associate producer. As far as me, it's been difficult. A lot of people got laid off. Luckily, I wasn't one of the ones, because I catch on so quickly. The transition from being in a studio where everything is set up, from you setting up everything from home. A lot of people could not do that. A lot of people was just so strong-minded on what they learned and didn't want to learn anything new, because it's a totally different ball game. Yeah. And the pressure was on us to troubleshoot things on spot. And this is live television. Yeah. So we hearing the screaming and all that stuff when it's technical difficulties, but it's really the software and not us, because this is a new software. We're the test dummies for it.
Yeah.
So it was stressful, but luckily they see the accolades for it. And I think that I feel appreciated. They asked me to work the Olympics. So me just working the Olympics and hopefully the Winter Olympics as well, put me on track to win an Emmy. So eventually I'll be an Emmy Award winner.
Yes. Hey, there we go.
That's how you're going to introduce me to you. And I know she could win plenty more than I can, because she touched on so many different big stories. She helped out with the Meek Mill story when he came out of jail. So she was a part of that. So she just one story away from winning multiple Emmys. So we both going to be an Emmy winning family. Yeah.
And Logan, I have a question specifically for you. It's like a woman in the space. I feel like media is like primarily dominated by men from what I can see. Yeah. How is it, or how has it been for you navigating the corporate space as a Black woman specifically and trying to achieve your goals, but also facing, you know, gender issues and race issues and just all of that with your career?
I think for me, it does depend on the show. I think for me, I've been blessed to work at Dateline, which is very much like a family culture. Everybody kind of wants to, if they see it in you, they want to help you pull it out and they want to help you grow and help you become a better AP and eventually become a producer. The one issue that a lot of people have is that, I guess people want their producer, they don't leave, so there's not really openings for people to progress past this point. So that's kind of been the thing that a lot of people are struggling with, but I do feel like for the most part I am valued and appreciated, which is great. And in the wake of all the George Floyd protests and things like that, we have had a lot of conversations at work about race and having more diversity in our stories and our pitches and even just other employees that are diverse, because it just isn't that diverse. Yeah. I'm one of the only Black APs. There's one other Black AP. And, you know, I think we're working on it. And I do feel like they hear us and they're trying to make that improvement. So I do appreciate them for that. So
that makes sense.
Yeah.
And this is a question for both of y'all. Could you ever see yourselves on the other side of the camera? I know you do so much behind the scenes. And like you say, you still feel appreciated. But sometimes people want that glory. People want the credit. So can you ever see yourself on the other side of the camera in front of the big screen?
I wouldn't write it off completely. I think anything could happen. I think it's just gotten where I feel more comfortable now on this end, you know, writing the stories, telling the stories. You say this, this is what I want you to say. But I mean, I don't know. I would be open to it. I'm not completely writing it off.
She would be your most trusted anchor. I would be very opinionated. I would have to be on. I don't know, but not like journalism.
Okay.
It would have to be more like, I don't know, like kind of like what you guys do or something, where I could give my opinion freely. Yeah. With cancel culture nowadays, I don't know. That's something I would have to think about. But I think I can pop my head in. Like, if she ever want to do a video or something, I could pop my head in and say a few jokes or something like that until I get comfortable. And then I think I'd be okay. But
well, I told him that I wanted to do like my own like YouTube channel and do hair and stuff like that, but I just never did it. So she
needs to get a hold of that because she's really good with natural hair and testing out products and stuff. Avocado.
Recommended that.
I love that Maya avocado.
I'm a hoarder when it comes to the hair products.
Gotta be. With natural hair, you gotta stay stocked up.
Yeah, you gotta try it all out, you know. You don't know, you can try it.
Yeah, but I think we could both, if we both team up and really brainstorm and present something and do like a YouTube type vibe, you know, family work, I think it can really be successful. Somebody came to me and asked me that. I just got to get more comfortable, you know, with being on camera and cancel culture, you know. You know, watch my mouth when it comes to certain like that, because you know I talk real fast and I don't want to say the wrong thing and get canceled. That's my radio nowadays. That's why I don't have a Twitter.
You have definitely said that. That is the reason why he does not tweet.
Yeah, especially in my career field, you gotta watch your mouth. You know, people can screenshot and send it to you, then I'm in trouble. I can't even take a picture with a red cup.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Appearance is everything.
Very important, yeah.
Yeah, because they don't want you to reflect badly on the company, I guess.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of always a representation of who you work for. But I could definitely see you all starting that YouTube channel. Is such a great way to make some residual income. But starting that YouTube channel, I am waiting for it.
Okay.
But speaking of, you know, y'all as a family, we want to know a little bit more about Harlem. So tell us about how your own childhood or your upbringing impacted how you learned to parent. Sean has a face.
Why are you laughing?
I'm laughing because you know my family crazy, but you know my they did teach me how to be a hustler. You know, I feel like that. You know, both of my parents. You know, my dad is not in my life, but my mom, they both had me at a young age, 12 and 13. So just growing up with them and seeing their struggles and stuff like that, I learned what not to do and I learned what to do. So that's what I take from that.
Yeah. I like it.
I don't know. Now I feel like I have to think about it because I think part of it just, you know, it just comes so naturally that I'm not even necessarily thinking about like, oh, this is, I'm teaching her this because this is what I was taught, you know. But I know my parents were always very, you can be whatever you want to be. You could be the president of the United States, you could be this. So I never really had that feeling of I can't do this because I don't see, you know, I always felt like I could do anything a boy could do, I could do anything a white person could do, I could do, you know, because that's just how my father and my mother both, you know, raised us and taught us. And so I think
we try education.
Education was always very important. My father, my grandfather always made sure, you know, my grandfather always used to say, that's the one thing no man can take from you is your knowledge, you know. So he was always a big advocate.
Reverend I.J. Johnson.
Yes, that's right. That's my granddaddy.
No man.
Oh my God.
The one thing.
Anyway,
can't take away from you. is your edumacation.
He did not say that. He did not talk like that.
Rest in peace, Reverend R.J. Johnson.
Anyway, so yeah, that's something that we've been really trying to instill in her and make sure she's learning as much as possible. That was our goal while she was at home with us. We were making sure she learned her ABCs, her numbers, colors, everything. So we were really proud to send her back to school, and they were like shocked. They were like,
she set the bar up.
Yeah,
here.
They're like, okay, God. She knows.
And I was like, she come from me. right. She has a big personality. She set the bar somewhere. I'm like,
duh.
Did she eat all her food? He's telling me something. He's telling me something I already
said.
Right.
What have y'all learned most about yourselves after becoming parents?
Say that again.
What have y'all learned most about yourselves after becoming parents?
Go first.
I thought I was more affectionate than what I was, but I learned that being married too, and I learned I wasn't as affectionate because Logan is very affectionate, and then I'm like, what are you hugging me for? Somebody died? You know, and then I'm not used to that. You know, my mama tough. She had five boys, and I'm the oldest. Yes. So she wasn't really touchy-feely like that, you know? And I learned how to be like that with Harlem, because Harlem is definitely like her mom when it comes to that. So that's what I learned.
What did I learn after becoming a parent? I don't know.
She learned how to share, because she's the only girl.
I
also
gotta share.
Her parents spoiled the mess out of her, and now she gotta share her hair products and food.
With you.
True. That my ill avocado.
I don't share my products with Harlem. It's you. You're the one that all of a sudden start using my products.
But when she get older, though, you're gonna have to share. But yeah, that my ill avocado. Yeah.
That's what I learned. I was like, oh, okay. So I'm going to have to get untied to my, what felt like expensive hair products at the time. But it's really not that bad now.
But I buy another one though.
Yeah, he contributes to the stash.
Yeah.
So, and he doesn't use that much at a time. So.
Yeah.
So it honestly sounds like what you all have learned from parenthood has also helped you in your marriage too, is kind of what I'm getting from that. But back to Harlem. If you all can tell us anything about how she has inspired these children's book that you want to write, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I realize it's real easy to write for somebody that you love, and we both love Harlem. Yeah. And I just put myself in her shoes, and we both thought about what we want her to know and what we want her to learn, and we put the pen to the paper and we wrote. And I'm excited for it. We want to leave a legacy for her.
Yes.
And we have a date, but we're not going to really rush it. We're going to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to have it around the holidays, you know, at least early in the year, have it and sell it on Amazon. But yeah, she's our inspiration. She has this big, bubbly, big personality. So it's easy to pick up what she say and make fun of it, tweak it, and make a book out of it.
I think it was a lot of, you know, what are some things that we wanted her to know and learn and establish within herself. I think that's kind of what's been part of the inspiration behind it. You know, just making sure her as a young Black girl, you know, has that.
Born on International Women's Day, March 8th. She was destined for greatness. Daddy from Chicago, Southside, mama from Ohio.
Yes.
We're both in our careers. She was conceived in Harlem, live in Jersey. She got the best of both worlds, different worlds. So she all that is combined in her.
Yeah.
That's why she's going to be something very special, and we feel it.
Yeah.
So I just want to push her. And she, when she get older, she'll see that both of her parents went above and beyond. Emmy Award winners.
Yes.
Authors.
Award-winning authors.
New York Times bestseller. Successful in any career that she want to be in. She have no option but to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know I laugh at everything Sean says. He's just funny. But I really believe and I really agree with like what you're saying. Like She comes from great stock. She has two amazing parents who are like out here doing it. And so I think that book is a great like next step, and she's going to really appreciate that y'all, you know, spent that time and were inspired and created that based on her life.
Yeah, and speaking of spending time, it seems like y'all are both super busy with work, with family, with, you know, other extracurricular activities such as writing the book. What are some things that y'all want to spend more time doing? If y'all had some extra time, what are some things that y'all want to do more of?
Dating. But okay, Harlem is back in daycare, so we were able to find time now to go on little dates, you know, before we pick her up. So that's good. But also individual, like working on our little hobbies. She's a writer, you know, she wanna have time just to not think about anything, work or family or anything on that agenda, and just write. So I hope she find that time to herself. With me, I wanna go back to taking dance classes so I could keep my shape, and I don't want to be 30 and big and, you know, out of shape. And my wife over here looking good, and I look like I got a beer belly. But no, but we both in shape now, so let's get it straight.
Get it straight.
I ain't got no beer belly. See, I lost all that pandemic weight.
Okay.
I'm back to my target weight, so we both doing good. Nothing. No, I'm just playing. I've been drinking a lot of water, and Peloton. I got a Peloton. Now, it's okay, so the Peloton, since we came back from a vacation, it's been hard to get back on there, but we're going to get back on. But yeah, we had our target weight, and we're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
But yeah, just more dating and like individual time. Her hobby is writing. My hobby is dancing and like, or working on movie sets. I had a friend here who was a producer, a movie producer, not a big, you know, Steven Spielberg or whatever like that, but he does different movies and stuff. And I was helping him. And so that, I think that was a hobby for me. And like a side job, but dancing, you know, was a real hobby of mine. You know, I used to dance in college. So just getting back in tune with that and not losing myself with that. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think, definitely if I had some more time, just some quiet time, that would be my ideal quiet time, some time to get my creativity flowing and stuff like that. And some time to like spend time with other women, you know, some girl time.
Yes.
That would be nice. And then, yeah, us getting back into dating each other. But I mean, like you said, I think now that she's back in school, that gives us a little time to sneak away and go to lunch together and stuff like that. So
yeah, like we used to.
That's what we used to do.
Mm-hmm. And we work in the same building, so we used to seeing each other in the hallway, and I approach her like I don't know, and try to speak name. Then we go to lunch together, you know, somewhere in the building.
Yeah, we just talked to Cedric's sister-in-law on our last interview, and so there was one thing that she said that she does. So she has two boys, and so she, like, just whenever they have time, she will take one day to herself at a hotel away from everything. Yes. So maybe Logan can, you know, start having a mommy day.
I was thinking about that for her. Yeah,
I think that's a great idea.
That is a great idea.
Being a parent is hard. I know for both of y'all, but being a parent is hard.
She don't want me to come. She don't want me to come. She don't want me to come.
And that too, so take some time for both of y'all to get away, you know, just from everything, and just have some little alone time.
We kind of did that for his birthday.
Yeah, and I was about to give her a shout out because she made me feel very special. On my birthday. On 9/11, you know, in New York City, that's the most depressing day ever in life. And here I am with the balloons. Birthday to me. And everybody got flashlights in the air crying and stuff, and I'm trying to celebrate my birthday, and she made my birthday so special. Had the nicest hotel ever with a nice view, and we was just chilling, but that was special to me because I love the vibes.
The birthday cake had the sunglasses on it
because you know I keep a sunshade. I was looking for it, but I'm like, Rashawn, I ain't gonna do it. I'm in the kitchen now. Come on. I keep me some shades.
Always.
Always.
for us, so just us talking to you all more, it's very obvious, like what Logan mentioned earlier, that you two are, you two are two parts of the same puzzle. And so what I want to know next is, and we're almost done asking y'all questions. I know it's just kind of lengthy, but what is one thing you really, really admire about the other person? Like one thing you want to take from them, from a personality trait, a skill, a talent, anything. I'm going to let Logan go first.
That's a good question. I feel like he is very, sometimes it bothers me, but at the same time, it's a good trait.
Yeah.
So he can sometimes be very like pushy or like, but that's his way of like, okay, I'm going to motivate you to do this and do that and do this. Right. And so at the time it's like, oh, this is really frustrating. I don't want to do it yet. I'm not ready. Da, da, da. But then it's like, okay, now I've done it. Okay.
Let's get down better. To the nitty
gritty. Name of the episode.
Basically what she's trying to say.
Basically.
And my thing with her is, like I said, when I met her, I could tell God is in her. And I gravitate towards good people. I gravitate towards good people. And I know she's a great woman, a great wife, and a great mom. So that's what I admire about her. God is really within her. Everything she touches turns to gold. And I knew that when I met her. And I know God is in me too. So it was just like us beaming towards each other. And one thing that I want to take away from her, like snatch out of her, is patience, which is kind of like what she said. Basically, I ain't got no patience. You know,
the puzzle.
So the exact same things.
Yeah, see, that's a perfect example.
I wish I had patience, and I'm like, I gotta get it done right now. I cannot sleep. That's me.
Yeah. Sometimes it's like he gets like.
And Logan, like, what her
upset about it, but yeah. It's like.
And as far as with her, like with her, when she's saying I'm trying to motivate her, she'll tell me what she want to do. And I'm like, okay, what you need me to do? Like,
yeah, and give me a list. Sometimes that makes me upset because I'm like, I don't know that I want to do anything about it yet. I'm just expressing
you said you want to write a movie.
My internal thoughts. I'm like, oh, I want to write a movie one day. I want to do this, I want to do that. Okay, let me call.
That's what I'm here for. I'm here to push you. Like, I'm here to push you because I told her I want her. Our experience being married, I want us to level. I'm gonna always push you to next level. I don't want you thinking that because you a wife and a mom that you have to hinder your goals. That's why I tell her all the time. Like she thinking like, should I find a new job to have more time? Hell no. Is it gonna be a level up? No, then we'll make it work. Even though we don't have no family here, it's just us watching her, but we'll make it work. We're building a community slowly and surely, but we'll make it work. I never want her to level down. I always want her to level up because that's exactly what the fuck I'm gonna do is level up. And I need her to be on the same level because she definitely got a lot of potential and she definitely gonna surpass me as far as accomplishing many things in her career because her job allows her to might have a cap to it, hers don't. She could literally become a producer and then become like an executive producer and then make, you know what I'm saying, make all this money, make all this dope, accomplish all these things, change lives with stories. She can change so much life. All I'm doing is micing them up.
But that's like the perfect like segue to our next question. Like as a unit, as a puzzle together, how do y'all want to level up in the next couple of years? What do y'all want for yourselves, both personally but also professionally?
I think I see us pursuing different business ventures like the book and just going into other things related to our skill sets. Not sure what that looks like just yet, but that's something that I always envision, like whoever I marry, I just know we're going to have, you know, some type of side hustle that we're able to build together. And I think he has that same desire or whatever. So,
yeah. And that's why this book is the first step for us. Mm-hmm. And then we'll be able to, and that's why I'm trying to really push it. That was the thing that she was saying.
That's
not the only thing. Okay, that's one of the things.
That's one of the many.
Because I really want us, I see something in us and I'm trying to get it out. You know what I mean? And I think this book is the first step. But I see us, you know, getting a house. You know, we live in an apartment right now in Jersey. Mm-hmm. Getting a house when the market go down because, you know, the market is just too high right now.
A little wild.
Don't move to New York, y'all. The taxes, if you're going to live somewhere, live in Jersey or somewhere you can find, you know, better taxes, it's still really expensive. But yeah, like eventually we're going to need a bigger space because we want a bigger family. probably two or three max living in New Jersey and New York, honestly.
Two or three what?
Kids.
Oh.
Just so to bigger, clarify.
Bigger space. She thought I went back down from that. No. We both agreed to that, so I'm not forcing her.
More baby,
I know it's
coming.
Her womb. Cancel
culture. You don't want to get canceled.
That's what I'm talking about. You know, I know we talked about this. She wants a lot of kids too.
Her body.
I'm saying max, you know, living in New Jersey, at least like two or three. But you know, a bigger home, and you know, focusing on this book is the first step for us. You know, we only been married for 1 year.
Right.
And so we got many years to think of other things. Yeah, and I know we'll make a good book, you know, or something like that. We both have really interesting lives outside of each other. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Oh, I love talking to y'all so much. I think that's a great place for us to transition into our segment. So our segment is just where we ask more informal questions so our listeners can learn about y'all on a different level. So this would be kind of quick. That's where the paper and pen will come in handy that y'all gathered before we started.
Okay.
So y'all have seen something like this. This segment is called Say You Know Me. So we're going to see how well you all know each other.
Okay.
We're going to ask y'all individual questions. You'll write it down. Of course, the other person will answer it aloud and we'll see if it matches up with what they actually say. Okay. So you may need to use the same piece of paper for all of your prompts, but we're going to start with asking about Sean for Logan to answer. So okay. Sean, write this down and Logan, you'll
so he write, I say.
It out. Okay. Yeah. So Sean's favorite alcohol. Go ahead and write that down. Before we started, Sean, he was trying to get a drink.
Right.
For some reason I wanted to say vodka and cranberry, but I don't think that's right. I think it's actually.
Wait, okay. So she right. When I go to the bars, mm-hmm. That's the first thing I do get is vodka and cranberry.
But
right. What's written on your piece of paper?
On my piece of paper. Okay, go ahead.
No, because I can't think of it. Okay. It's brown.
Oh, yeah.
Tennessee, that's what I was supposed to say.
Yeah.
What, is that what you wrote?
No. it is Hennessy.
That's what I was going to say, Hennessy.
I slowed down on Hennessy.
Good.
What's the answer?
Too many horrible stories with him.
Right.
But I got, because I didn't know she was going to say Moscato. So I was like, if she say wine, it's Moscato, but Ciroc, because I got Ciroc here. That's what I was drinking, Ciroc.
So
but,
Ciroc counts as vodka and cranberry.
That is true.
It's Ciroc. Okay. Yeah. All right. So she got the point.
All right, there we go.
Mm. Yeah, if there. You were to ask about wine, yeah, I would say Moscato.
Right. So yeah, she know. Yeah, Hennessy, I used to get a lot. Yeah. And I gave it up because, you know, I already got enough hair on my chest. You know what I mean? Hennessy.
You don't need any more, huh?
Yeah, I don't need any more. Yeah, I'm good on that. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yes, good job.
Okay.
All right, here we go. All right. So, Sean, what was Logan's very first job in life? Very first job ever.
I know this one.
Her what?
Her very first job ever.
Oh.
You know.
Oh, yeah, I know this. Oh, I'm writing down. It was like a hot dog place.
What's the name of it?
You're losing me. I know she was serving hot dogs in yes. Toledo, Ohio.
I worked at Rudy's Hot Dogs.
Rudy's.
Was it yes. good?
Yeah, it was good. I wasn't really a hot dog person per se, but it was a really popular local hot dog family-owned place. So yeah. And we used to have to line up all the hot dogs on your arm all the way up to here, and then you just put, yeah.
And then serve them?
Yeah, you put, yeah.
Oh, wow.
All the way up. It was like,
yeah, she had the buns.
It was like a sport.
Like this.
Yeah, you put the buns, and then you put the hot dogs in there, and then you put all those toppings, and you do it real fast, so people are like, ooh, ah, and then it's like, then you get good tips.
And that's how COVID started. Her lining up hot dogs.
So if I go to Ohio, I need to go to Rudy's Hot Dogs.
Yes.
Okay.
That's on the list. Okay. I don't think I'll ever go to Ohio anytime soon. That's not on my travel list. But if I do go, that I'm making a stop.
Barack Obama stopped at Rudy's Hot Dogs.
Oh, so I have to do it just off the strength.
Just so you know. Don't play Rudy's.
Half a point for point for Sean because he didn't even get the name.
Yeah, but I didn't get the name.
He got it.
That's even, you know, I don't remember no names.
No, right, that's true.
That's true. He gets a full point because he doesn't remember names. So for him to remember the hot dog joint.
That was pretty good. So
okay. Yeah.
All right. So our next one. So Logan, you write this. No, Sean writes this down. Logan answers aloud. If Sean could eat one thing for the rest of his life, what would it be? I'm very scared by his answer.
Candy yams.
Let's see what Sean's about to write down here. So the answer is candy
yams. I'm still writing.
I'm still writing. No.
Please show us, or what did you write?
Salmon.
Salmon. If I could read that. You didn't read it?
Look how tiny this is. Do you think I cheated?
I don't know how many questions.
That's very small.
Rolling tiny.
No.
Salmon.
Yeah, I knew that.
I could eat that every day. See, I can't eat food like that.
That was one of the first meals that I made for him, I think.
Right? Yeah, I'm lactose intolerant now. You know I had a colonoscopy.
I am too. Getting older. Salmon is bomb.
I'm not a big salmon person, but I mean, really? It's good.
My favorite.
Yeah, he likes the salmon with asparagus and rice.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a meal.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Sean, how do you know when Logan is mad?
So Logan, write down, what do you do?
I don't know. Wow. I'm mad. I don't know what I do.
Oh, she
Wait,
y'all ready?
Wait.
Ready.
I don't know. What do I do when I'm mad?
Okay, you ready?
Yeah, I mean,
she get long faced and then like she when she want to throw a dig, but not like a dig. She'll smile, you know, with it, you know, like a little southern, you know, shade. You know what I mean? That, and I'm more like, let's get down to the nitty. Really, and then she more like, you know, she on that southern type shade, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Real hot
spot. I disagree with that part, but I agree with the long. Does long face mean I pout?
Yeah, like yeah. So to answer your question, she pout.
I probably do pout. I don't know that I'm pouting, but I feel it on the inside.
Like, damn,
gotcha.
On the inside, I'm mad, but I don't want to talk about it, so it's probably reflecting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then like she'll quietly leave sometimes. So I know, like, damn, I fucked up.
I quietly leave.
But if you marry, you know that your wife is always what?
Right. Okay, we're gonna do two more. So one more for each of y'all. So let me see. Sean, what is Logan's favorite food spot? Or am I asking the right thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
What's her favorite
food spot? Wait, who writes it? I write it?
She write it? Oh, yes, right.
My favorite food spot.
I do back to back. So, Logan's favorite food spot. And what's her order from there?
Oh, he knows.
Carrabba's. And okay. She will get the, you know, I don't know no names. Ooh. But she loved the soup. Some type of Italian soup I can't pronounce. I always tell Logan, I say, what's the name of it? Every time we're there, because you know, I don't know.
He don't know names.
No.
I ain't finna disrespect Italians like that. I ain't.
Sicilian chicken.
Don't want to get canceled.
It's not difficult.
No. Is it called that?
That's what it's called, Sicilian chicken soup.
Oh, yeah. I was about to say Sicily Tyson soup.
now you know, good and well. Sicilian.
Let her rest in peace.
Yes.
That's okay. And then for the meal, she would get like the first thing that popped up in my mind is sometimes you get the chicken pasta meal, yeah. But sometimes you get the three chickens with the different sauce.
Chicken trio.
Yeah, the chicken trio with the different sauce on it. Yeah.
Okay. Sean was listening. Sean was watching.
Mm-hmm. She loved that soup. She'd be like, I just wish when she's sick. I just wish I had the Sicily soup. And I said, do they deliver? Because they don't. I always ask, do they deliver? No. Okay.
That's not right.
But I'm gonna get it to the next time. Tia, you remember I told you that I was sick.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I don't know why guys when we become sick. Well, me, I can't speak on every guy. I'm a big baby.
Same.
And with her,
I was just sick right like before him.
She was just sick, so she got me. And we didn't have COVID. It was like a little bug or something. Mm-hmm. So I said, Logan, just take a Tylenol. She don't believe in medicine like that.
Tylenol doesn't help with the fact that I was nauseous.
She don't, Tia, Tylenol helps with headache. Nauseous and headache. It says
headache,
nauseous.
It does not say nausea.
Nausea. Yes. It don't say nausea. Mm-mm.
That's Pepto.
Pepto-Bismol.
Well, we got that too. And she didn't want to take it.
You didn't open
it for her. She was just like, no, she just like to push stuff through. Mm-hmm. And then with me, I'm trying to take all types of medicine. I don't like being sick.
I've always been like that. I don't know why. I think I used to, one thing is I think I used to think that that builds your immunity. Like if you can push through it, like it builds your immunity. So next time you, I don't know that that's
true. Immunity, I'm not a doctor. Give me a Tylenol. I'm tired of being sick. I got to go to work. That's how I feel.
And I'm just like not a drug person. Like I just don't like put stuff in my body that don't need to be. So if I can avoid it, yeah. I won't put it in my body. If it's just like, if I would have been sick like that for a lot longer, then I would have been, I would have been taking something. But it was like a day.
Right. Just going to see how I feel later.
Type of thing. Just let me sleep it off and then that's it.
And then I was crying. I had the chills.
He milked it because I'm like, okay, I was over this by now. You adding on 2 extra days. Can you get this for me?
I was in the thick of it.
Can you do this?
I was in the thick of it. She gave me the virus and I was in the thick of it.
Oh, wow. You're going to blame her. Virus.
Well, at least you survived. At least you survived to tell the tale.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Because I don't get sick, but yeah. She took care of me. I appreciate that.
Marriage.
And Logan, we had the last one for you. Logan, what is Sean's biggest pet peeve?
He's supposed to write it. Oh. Pet peeve.
That's a good question.
I have one thing because he used to say this a lot, but I don't know that that's truly his biggest pet peeve.
I feel like Sean's thinking too.
Yeah,
he used to say, "Oh, my biggest pet peeve is when people make me out to do something, and when it's not my intent."
That's so true.
He used to say that a lot.
Yeah, if I got good intentions and you trying to switch it and turn it into bad intentions,
I flip out.
That's a pet peeve of mine, because you know I got good intentions. You know I got a good heart. So why switch something and try to make it something that it's not? I don't like that.
Yeah, that's what he used to say a lot, but. I think there's something else.
Yeah, I was about to say, say what you mean what you say. Mm. Like, get down to the nitty gritty. Don't hold back nothing and try to sugarcoat nothing. Say it and say it loud and say it proud.
It's not extra.
I pray for everything.
Everything. So it seems like overall, y'all do know each other pretty well. It seems like y'all got all the points or some version of that. So.
Yeah,
yeah, y'all are both winners in this game. Yeah. So we just have a couple more questions, two actually, to close us out. But how can people learn more about you, get connected with you, and just continue to watch you grow as you all grow together? Go ahead and let people know your social media handles so they can be a part of your journey as you continue to grow.
She has an IMDb.
Really?
They can't connect with me on there.
Still, we can
just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah. That's what's up. That's
cool. Love IMDb. I'll be always on there. So.
And she could get a check mark, but she wanted to be so humble and stuff. She can get a check mark on Instagram.
Go ahead, give me.
Well, I almost was going to try to get a check mark after that person. Remember that person they didn't hack my account, but somebody tried to pose as me.
You got a catfish.
Like catfish.
Yeah.
I was ready to go to war. I was trying to figure out who this was.
Oh my gosh. But they can follow me on Instagram at lovely_low. It's lovely with 2 Y's _LO.
Okay. And y'all can follow me, your boy Sean Debonair on Instagram. That's my only social media that I'm going to allow y'all to follow me. Because I'm not you on Facebook. That's for family. Facebook is for family. Instagram is for everybody else.
And that's okay. And so everyone can follow Sean and Logan. And that way, when the book comes out, You have people ready to buy it. You already have fans.
And, and we'll come back when if you guys invite us, if we invite it on the invite.
We're invited to the invite.
When the book comes out, yeah, we would love to come back if you guys will have us.
We'd love to have you back for sure.
Yes, definitely make it happen.
And then, so last question, what ending advice would you give to someone who would love to balance their both their career and family and make sure both are growing and both are successful?
I think definitely there's a lot of, you have to schedule certain things, like you just got to make it work, make it fit. You've got to communicate with your partner. Like we just had the discussion. I said, okay, the next 6 weeks, it's going to be really hectic for me at work. And he's like, okay, cool. Like, you know, you just got to kind of communicate that.
No naps for me.
AKA no naps for you. Yeah. So really communicating with your partner and letting them know what's going on. So there's no surprises if, you know, plans fall through and things like that, and knowing what you need from them during that time.
Yeah. Or if I need to call off, like if they ask her to go to Virginia, sometimes I drive her to her destination where she has to go to interview these people. So like around us, like Virginia or Washington, D.C. So if she need me for that, then I will call out and take her to drive down there and be with her and make sure she's good. But I would say, you know, communicate and but make sure you have time for God, too, as well, because we make sure that we pray together. Harlem sleep in the bed with us, unfortunately. But, One thing we're gonna get out of this is that she say her prayers at night with us. So that's one thing that as parents, that's the best thing I think in my mind, because that's what my mom gave me, God. So that's the best thing you can give your kid, because you know you can only teach them so much. They got their own personality. And once you teach them the foundation, it's up to them to carry that and hold on to that. But I know God will always be in her because we introduced it to her. Now she loves going to church, watching church, she loves gospel music, all different types of music. And I feel good about that because that's one thing that she can carry with her as an adult.
Mm-hmm. And that's perfect. Like God is great.
Yeah.
All the time. And it is Sunday. So Sean over here preaching. So
right. I toast to that. Hey. Wait. Is it communion? It's first Sunday. It's first Sunday.
Well, the wine is a little wonky.
Yeah, that's why I'm drinking Syrah.
But
this is going to be a very fun interview. I really am enjoying talking to y'all. I always love talking to couples, people who are like in their careers, really out here doing it, and that y'all are the epitome of what it is that we want to have on our show. People just being successful, being able to give some advice. So we really do appreciate your time today. Really do. Thank you. Hopefully it wasn't too painful. I know you said y'all were nervous.
No,
it was fun. And shout out to y'all. Like, this was perfect. I compliment you, Tia, all the time on this, but say I'm going to say it to you too. Man, it was like y'all was born for this. Like, y'all are really, really good. I'm going to call Diddy so y'all can work for Revolt. And that's how I feel about that.
Hey, we're gonna make it happen.
And
we appreciate having y'all on so much. Everyone, that's another episode of the Invited Podcast in the books. Thanks for joining us.
That's a wrap.
Bye.